Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
Dusty old farmer, out working your field, hanging down over your tractor wheel. The sun beating down turned the red paint to orange, and rusty old patches of steel. There's no farmer songs on that car radio, just cowboys, truck drivers, and pain. Well, this is my way to say thanks for the meal, and I hope there's no shortage of rain. Straw hat and old dirty hankies, mopping a face like a shoe. Thanks for the meal, here's a song that is real, from a kid from the city to you.
I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we take the Stevens Point exit and talk to the folks behind the Central Rivers Farm Shed. That's a group dedicated to make Central Wisconsin a local food community. Their premise, food is a cultural heritage that produces wealth and brings people together when it's produced locally. The Farm Shed volunteers also believe that healthy eating is a simple solution to rising medical costs, and that Central Wisconsin has the natural resources and the tradition of land management necessary to make it all work. Now, this group is busy. They produced a 32-page regional Farm Fresh Atlas, a year-round guide to farms, businesses, and markets where you can get local produce, dairy, and meat products. They're involved in the Greenhouse Project, creating a downtown garden center that will double as a model education and demonstration site. They're also teaching a beginning farmer course, scheduled to start this Saturday. It's for those who want to start a farm or a market garden to grow sustainable local food. Back in November, they had a farmer tribute harvest dinner, and next Thursday, they've got a local food fair, cooking demonstration, and potato dinner at Stevens Point Area High School. So, our guests today are Interim Executive Director Lane Cozzolino, Farm Shed Program Coordinator Joelle Groshek, and Farm Shed Board Director, member of the Board of Directors, Eric Olson. We'd like to hear from you. What do you think? Do you try to buy locally produced food when you can? Do you grow some of your own food? Or do you think that it's just too tough, inconvenient, or expensive? Do you have questions about how to do all of that yourself? Would you like some tips from our guests? Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Eric, Joelle, and Lane, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
And so we don't forget, let's talk about what you got going on next Thursday, February 16th, with that local food fair at Stevens Point Area High School.
Sure. The local food fair is an event that we have every spring, trying to promote the local food economy, and we do that by bringing in people who are part of the local food economy, farmers and restaurants and exhibitors, and try to connect them up with the people who are going to eat their food, consumers, restaurants again, but mostly it's for the general public. And we started doing this back in 2006, and it's been growing pretty much every year. Joelle's taken on, I think, a lot of responsibility for coordinating this year's event, and I know she knows many of the details.
I do know many of the details, but I have to say, like, while I have been basically coordinating a lot of the details that are happening, I couldn't have done it with the large crew of volunteers that's helping me. I don't even think I can count on my hands the number of volunteers that have helped and with the planning process and coming to late-night meetings, coming to early morning meetings before Christmas, and just really getting everything together.
Well, local people call this the potato dinner, don't they? Isn't that what it's called?
Well, I guess... I guess that is has been my experience with it anyway. The way it had been explained to me is that there are three parts, and the first part is the local potato dinner, which starts at 5:30, and of course it's free to all. And then there's the info fair, which is for farmers, local authors, local businesses that have sustainable practices, and also kind of smashed somewhere there in the middle is what we like to call an edutainment piece. And that is kind of our way of teaching everyone who might not normally think about local food exactly what local food is and what it's about.
You've got a cooking demonstration going on, too?
We do, and this is a part of the fair that has taken quite possibly the most planning, but in the last week before, everything is really coming together, and this week we were able to get some UWSP dietetic students involved, and they are like taking on like the planning and management of the whole cooking demonstration, and it's going to be fantastic. Like, we're going to have a group of 15 students cooking, pre-preparing the meal for our sponsors. And then they're going to be serving it to our sponsors at 6:45. And it's just going to be phenomenal.
All right, so this is all next Saturday, February 16th?
Thursday.
Next Thursday, I'm sorry. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Next Thursday, February 16th. I got the date wrong, but the day wrong. At Stevens Point Area Senior High School, and it's something you folks at the Central Rivers Farmshed do every year. Now, you're also teaching a beginning farmer's course. It gets underway this weekend and also runs the following weekend. Tell us about that.
We are currently still taking registrations. They keep piling in, and really we're just looking for a full classroom. And we have it. We have over 27 people signed up. And so that'll be starting at 9 a.m. This Saturday, and we'll be having all sorts of topics, anything ranging from like CSA models to diversified.
What's a CSA model?
So a CSA is stands for Community Supported Agriculture, and some of you might be familiar with it as one of your coworkers gets a box of vegetables every week, and what happens is you invest in a farm and you pay like a fee at the beginning of the summer, and then you get a box of vegetables delivered to you for, usually in this area, it seems to be about 20, 21 weeks. And that's what it is.
What are they going to learn? What are you teaching people? And first of all, do they have to go both weekends, or is it just so it's a two-weekend course?
Well, it's a two-weekend course, but people are allowed to kind of come and go as they please. I know that the first Sunday is about meat processing and how to do, like, beef production, and some people aren't interested in that, so they're not going to attend that part. And it's really for, beginning people who, haven't raised a hoe before to, picked tomatoes, weeded the bean row, people who have been gardening their whole lives and are now looking to maybe purchase some land and mm-hmm. turn it into something,
And a key reason why this is successful, too, is that we have farmers teaching the course, that it's not us running it by any means. It's the people that we've worked with in the community for a long time who really see the value in sharing their information.
So are you trying to teach people to be like full-time professional farmers, or are you just trying to teach people to maybe get into some of this farm production part-time in order to supplement the existing food resources that they have?
I think that the class, it really draws in both sets of people. I think that in our area, we have a community of people that are very interested in growing their own food and being more self-sustaining. And so I think that the great part is that we can draw on both sets. And I know that we have people coming from Minnesota. We have people coming from Madison.
People
coming from Milwaukee. So it's really hitting a much broader audience than and every year I think that it grows in that way. And you can just tell that the interest in local food systems and the interest in people, trying to further understand where their food comes from and maybe even put their own hands into having a part of that, I think is really important.
Well, Lane, you're the interim executive director, correct?
I am.
What's it like trying to run an organization like this?
it's fun and exciting and terrifying at times, but because we're an all-volunteer organization and we came together in 2007, and I actually was living down in Milwaukee at the time, but The whole reason that Central Rivers Farmshed exists is because a bunch of people that came together to decide what, you know, how a local food economy looks and what they could do to start to put things in effect that would educate our community and make people more aware of local food. And so over the years, all of these different programs popped up and different people would lead the charge, I guess. So it's interesting now because my position came about because of the Greenhouse Project, and I'm sure we'll start talking about that a little bit later, but it really came about because we felt that that project would be housed really well under Farmshed. But we had so many programs going on before that project even came. So it's all of a sudden, you know, making sure that we can still keep our volunteers really involved and while looking at how we grow and what where our focus needs to be while kind of sustaining all the exciting things that we've been doing for the past several years.
Several years? How many years is that?
So since 2007 is when Farmshed came together, and then I only started as the executive director in October.
How many volunteers do you have now?
Oh, wow.
Dozens?
Well,
it depends on kind of how you look at it, because we have some real, you know, some hardcore volunteers that help on events and things like this, but then on site at the greenhouse helping clean, we've had probably over 100 people come through and be active participants in that restoration process.
And is this an all-volunteer organization? Does anybody make a salary? How does it work?
Well, just I do right now. So, but I promise it's not glamorous like that. It's
And even there, Lane, your position is half-time because you're also working on other projects that are funded.
So my position is full-time, but I'm funded partially through the Wood County Get Active grant, and they had wanted to see Farmshed get off the ground because of a program that I ran as a volunteer through Farmshed in Stevens Point, which is the EBT at the Farmers Market, and it allows food share participants to use their cards to buy locally produced foods at the farmers market. And so I was doing that in my job in Wood County and as a volunteer in Stevens Point. And so since it was a grant that only had a specific amount of time, it was going to be better to have it self-sustained within an organization and held under an organization.
Well, the bottom line for people who are listening is you're basically an all-volunteer organization. Mm-hmm. You've got like a part-time salary to be the interim director, and somehow you're making all of this work. What was the genesis for it? Who came up with the idea, why did people in the Stevens Point area think this was something that you had to do?
Sure. I was part of some of the early years. I wasn't one of the original people, but I have been going to meetings for some time. And I think it was a combination of some people from the UW-Stevens Point campus and some community members.
How tied into UW-Stevens Point is this?
I think it's only tangentially tied in. It's because there's a lot of campus members, faculty members, who really see the need for something like this. So they're volunteering their time above and beyond their teaching or other responsibilities to try to keep this group going, and mm-hmm. they started to get it off the ground in the beginning. But then some other folks in the community say, you know, we need some way to know that our food sources are secure. Every time that there's like a recall of food or people get sick from the food that they buy at the grocery store, we get this really big influx of folks who are wondering, hey, is there an alternative? Why can't I buy safe eggs that I really know that they're not produced in a scary factory-type operation, but I know that these eggs are going to be good for me and my family? And so those folks have really been trying to support whenever a community-supported agriculture farm is starting out in Stevens Point or in the area. They've been the ones, I think, who are clamoring to be their customers and to make those payments and to say, hey, I really do want to know who my farmer is. I want to know where this food is coming from, rather than just trusting or relying on the commercial national and international food system.
Well, your goal is to make the Stevens Point area and really all of central Wisconsin a local food community. Exactly what does that mean?
I think that means that we have a diverse and healthy number of food producers who know that their local customers are going to be there for them. You can't have a situation where these local farmers invest time and money in getting a farm going, and then they find out that nobody really wants to buy their stuff. So to build that consumer demand and to make sure those farmers feel comfortable making those investments, we have to get the information into their hands about why it's important to source locally, why you can feel more secure buying food from somebody you know and can make eye contact with instead of sort of an industrial system that makes everything very anonymous. So a lot of our effort has been education to consumers to make sure that they're going to be there to be the demand for CSA farms. And we think that it's been working because a lot of the CSA farms have been getting their full subscriptions, they call it, in terms of how many people do they need to pre-buy that food in the spring.
Okay.
And we see new CSA farms starting up in the area. So there certainly is even more consumer demand to meet the existing farms and to support new farms.
And again, that stands for Community Supported Agriculture.
Yep.
Do you stress organic food, or are you open to farmers who might need to use some chemical fertilizers or herbicides or pesticides?
I think we try to inform consumers about what organic means and why that's something to consider. We don't have a litmus test necessarily that says, well,
that's what I was asking.
Yeah, we have people sort of, and Lane's got the document there, where we try to work with farmers to get them to understand, I guess, the value of going the organic route or using low inputs. Can you?
Yeah, so one of the things that you spoke earlier about our Farm Fresh Atlas, the publication we put out annually, and so when a farm is going to be published in the Atlas or a business as well, they take this pledge that says that they will be family or cooperatively owned. They'll reduce the application of synthetic pesticides and fertilizers. They'll operate in a way that protects and sustains the region's land and water resources. They'll treat animals with care and respect. They'll provide safe and fair working conditions for their employees. And they'll sell. They're selling Wisconsin products that are grown on the farm that they helped produce. And so I think that you know what we're really concentrating on, and I do think that land conservation and making sure that our resources are well tended to is an important piece of that. And we look at Eric had talked a bit about, you know, why and what a local food economy looks like. And I think that you've seen that. You know, globally, our food has gotten, you know, it's not grown close to home. You're not even, for the most part, growing food in most agriculture these days. You know, you're growing crops that are going to be processed into something and mostly animal feed or, you know, and so you're really, we're trying to say that, you know, food should be grown for human consumption, and we should have some sort of connection to that.
Lane Cozzolino, Joel Groshek, and Eric Olson of the Central Rivers Farm Shed. They're trying to make central Wisconsin, they're based in the Stevens Point area, a local food community. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg, and this is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, we're talking about the Central Rivers Farm Shed with three of the people who work on this project trying to turn central Wisconsin into a local food community. Eric Olson, Joel Groshek, and Lane Cozzolino. We were talking about the local food fair that's happening this coming Thursday at Stevens Point Area Senior High School, and I have been reminded during the break that we missed an important part of that.
I think we covered that we were having a chef demonstration, but we didn't cover who the chef was. And so I think it's really exciting because he's a James Beard Foundation award-winning chef, and he has authored some of his own books, and he also runs...
Who are we talking about?
Sure, it's Michel Nichon is his name, and he is out of Connecticut, and he is also the CEO of the Wholesome Wave Foundation. And what that organization does is it works to really connect people to safe, nutritious, and affordable foods, and they work a lot with local growers. And one of the reasons that we felt connected to them is because of the EBT program that we run at our farmers market each season. So because of that, it allows food share participants to, again, purchase foods from their local growers, something that they weren't able to do just a few years ago. And what his organization did was they tried to connect with other foundations or other funding sources to double the dollars for anybody on food share, we call it in Wisconsin, but the food stamp program. So if someone wants to go and spend $10 and they have a very small food share budget, they would end up getting $10 more to spend at the farmer's market. And it does a couple of things. One, it, you know, puts these great, wonderfully nutritious mm-hmm. foods into the people's hands and allows them to cook great meals with that. But it also will put, you know, those dollars into the farmers' pockets rather than at a grocery store where it just leaves our community and our economy right away.
Is there a goal that you can reach where you can say, okay, we are now a local food community? Or is this one of those things where you'll always be working toward an ideal and never realizing it completely?
I think it's hard to say when you're going to be there. I think it's going to look actually, we'll recognize it when our food economy looks maybe more like what it did back in 1910. You know, if you go back 100 years, when it was rare for people to get strawberries in January, fresh strawberries in January. It was rare for people to think, like, I can buy grapes whenever I want to. And instead, people actually were in touch with the seasons, and people had to really plan ahead. And so they thought about, well, in the summer, we're going to have all these tomatoes. Maybe we can jar some, we can them, process them, use them throughout the winter. That's a local food system where people are actually in touch with, I guess, what their local area actually can provide for them. So
what do you say to people who say that I like my lettuce in January and I like getting the grapes from Chile and the beans and the squash from Mexico and from places when central Wisconsin and northern Wisconsin are covered with snow and we can't grow produce here?
Sure, and those things will be available, but we should maybe think of those as luxuries, as treats, rather than just a given or something we can assume is always going to be there. I think right now it's sort of the costs involved in terms of transporting that food and growing it somewhere in Chile and bringing it up here. That's sort of a hidden cost that we're not paying all the time. As energy becomes more expensive, as the cost of jet fuel becomes more expensive, we can expect those items to be more expensive. So how can people get produce and things that they like locally that don't require all that shipping?
Eric Olson, Joel Groshek, and Lane Cozzolino of the Central Rivers Farm Shed. We're going to keep talking about sustainable agriculture and what that means and what they're trying to do. And we'd like to hear from you, 1-800-780-9742. Do you try to grow your food or buy it locally? I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
This land is your land, and this land is my land, from California to the New York Island.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
I hate to see the farmer is the last of a dying breed. Living off the land and taking what he needs. Don't see much for the future when a family can't survive. I'd hate to say the farmer was the last of his kind.
And today on Route 51, we are talking to the folks behind the Central Rivers Farm Shed Project, based in the Stevens Point area. Eric Olson, Joel Groshek, and Lane Cozzolino are our guests today. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. What do you think about sustainable agriculture? What do you think about the idea of buying your food locally? Do you grow your own food? Do you have your own garden? Do you buy your produce at farmers markets or from local farmers? If not, why not? Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Our lines are wide open right now, and if you'd like to join the conversation, we would like to hear from you. Eric, before we hit the news break, you know, I was asking the question that I think a lot of people who aren't involved with this are asking. They're saying, you know, I like the way things are right now. I like produce being produced internationally and shipped by air so that I can get these grapes in the winter and I can get my lettuce from Chile and I can I don't have to scrimp at all and I can get my fresh produce 365 days out of the year. What's wrong with that?
Well, and actually, we do believe that there are ways you can get fresh greens and produce year-round. One of our big models in carrying out our program has been Growing Power down in Milwaukee. And this is a sort of an internationally renowned operation where Will Allen has taken an abandoned greenhouse and converted it into a community food center where he can grow lettuce, he grows fish, he grows all sorts of things in these greenhouses where, because of the Wisconsin climate isn't that severe, there are ways that you can grow this produce year-round. And we've been trying to kind of see, well, how can we replicate some of what Will's been doing? And the greenhouse project has been sort of a part of that. How can we create an example of a year-round community food center right in Stevens Point?
Well, what about people who say, you know, this is all well and good, but it's too expensive? Money is tight. I have to count every penny that I make, so I'm going to do my shopping at Walmart or at a discount supermarket. And anyway, I'm stressed out and I'm busy, and I just don't have the time to look up all these local farm stores and markets in order to do what you want me to do.
I think that just to touch base on, and this will lead into what you just asked, but to touch on what Eric was saying too, I think that the expense really comes down to our natural resources, and peak oil isn't always going to allow all of this food to be shipped and you know, packaged and flown and transported all over the country and as well as all over the world. And I think the realization that we can't always expect to have those Chilean grapes, and we need to understand how and that a relationship with food and knowing something about it has to make sense for everyone at some point, because you know, our natural resources are depleted in so many different areas. And so projects like the Greenhouse Project is something that is really looking at sustainability in so many measures. And it's trying to really broaden people's horizons on what they can understand about kind of trying to put together ideas and speak with different groups of people to look at, you know, preserving our water resources, to looking at how we can collect and use the sun and use energy to do specific things on site, like using for electricity and for heating the different facilities. So I think that it's really important that we address those issues, because the expense really comes from that as well.
Joelle, how do you feel about this?
As an AmeriCorps member, I actually qualify for EBT, or Electronic Benefits Transfer, which is the, you know, food stamps, basically. And I use my card at my local co-op, and I make it work because I make local food a priority for me. And I think, you know, like Lane said, the way that things are run are not currently sustainable. We need to move towards models that are more sustainable, because this is what we're looking at, and we have to move beyond where we are now.
1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's talk about the Greenhouse Project. This is a building in Stevens Point. Where is it located exactly?
Yep, it's right in downtown Stevens Point, actually, on Center Point Drive. It's behind the Shopko, and it has been an abandoned garden center since 2008. And the community has constantly talked about it and wanted to see something happen with it. And in 2009, we mentioned Will Allen, but in 2009, he came and toured this facility after speaking on campus at UWSP, and he thought it was this perfect opportunity to kind of seize that building and make sure that something good happened with it rather than it being torn down. And you know, there was other plans for it that no one really wanted to see happen. And over the years, it was just too expensive, they were asking too much, and so we couldn't really make a go of it. And then this summer, the bank reapproached Nick Hyla at the Midwest Renewable Energy Association.
Okay.
And he is the executive director there, and they approached him because he'd been one of the people that had been interested when Will was first touring it. And so he brought together 40 community members at the end of July to tour the site, and he just really wanted to start a community conversation around it. And when those 40 people showed up and really said, okay, how are we going to make this work? The price is right. We have to make a go of it. And so that was the time we started setting up community meetings to discuss, you know, what could happen. We knew that the possibilities were endless. And so it was really exciting to see this many people saying, no, it needs to happen, and we're ready.
So you've got partners helping you out. You've got Midwest Renewable Energy Association, and you've also got North Wind Renewable Energy and the Resiliency Project.
And then we have a huge partner in Patrick Rothfuss, who actually stepped in and ended up purchasing the property.
He's a world-famous author, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He's a New York Times best-selling author, and he also teaches creative writing at UWSP. And he believes in sustainable communities, and he is also a fundraiser for the Heifer for Heifer International, who looks at sustainable communities all over the world.
So you've got this old greenhouse building or garden center building.
36,000 square feet of it.
What does it look like right now?
What does it look like? Well, it looks fantastic right now, actually, because I know what it used to look like. When we first walked into that building, you know, all of it had been left exactly how it was. There was pots, there was, you know, the planting tables, everything, you know, and there was lots and lots of growth.
Had there been a lot of vandalism? Did you have to replace panes or anything?
We actually, not because of vandals, but just because of time, a lot of glass had broken. And so that's actually one of the big fundraising efforts now is to be able to replace the glass with polycarbonate, because polycarbonate is a much more energy efficient way of heating having the greenhouse heated. And so that's one of the fundraising opportunities, because it's $60,000 just to replace all that glass. So now we have, by October, on our first cleanup day, we were able to empty out an entire greenhouse. We had 60 people show up to help that one day. And it's just been amazing, the amount of human power that has gone through that place and really done a tremendous job of getting it, you know, to a place where at least now we know that we may be able to run a workshop here in early March and put in a hoop house in one of the greenhouses, mm-hmm. and grow some of those plant starts that, you know, that right now for organic plant starts, you have to go down to Madison to purchase them. So we're excited to get something going and be able to maybe have a little bit of revenue come in and be able to invite people in to learn about growing.
And Joelle, give me your impressions of the greenhouse project.
Well, I actually didn't know about the greenhouse project. I was actually working down on a farm in North Carolina when I applied for this position. And so I was brought on board, and they showed me the greenhouse, and I looked at it and I was like, oh my gosh, there's so much work to be done. But I have to say that, you know, for the short amount of time I've been around, like, there's been so much turnaround, and, you know, all of the, like, the goldenrod that was creeping up through, you know, the growing tables, like, that's not there anymore. The growing tables aren't there anymore, you know, and, like, we have heat in the front, you know, like, retail space. I mean, that's amazing. We didn't have heat there for forever. And, like, the leaks in the roof are gone, and it's like I walk in there, and every time it's like seeing my nephew, you know, that I haven't seen in forever. And it's like, it's grown, and it's, you know, it's, you know, it's growing up, and yeah, it's beautiful.
And Eric, what are your goals for this project? What do you want to see this building become?
Self-sustaining in many different ways. I want to see it. One of our challenges right now is, and the reason why the greenhouse failed previously was the energy costs. And so I've harped on that the cost of natural gas, the cost of gasoline, these things fluctuate and they're out of your control. How can we make this more self-sustaining? We've been partnering very closely with Mid-State Technical College. and Northwind Renewable Energy, and they've both brought a tremendous amount of knowledge about renewable energy systems. And these people have been thinking about ways that this greenhouse, rather than having it be furnace heated, we could actually capture the heat that comes into the greenhouse during the summer, bank it underneath the buildings,
wow.
and then draw it out during the wintertime. And in times past, nobody really thought about that because the price of the gas was always cheap and the price of electricity was cheap. But now we're looking at it and saying, well, wait a minute. If the price of energy is going to be high, maybe it is worth our time and effort to create a system like that where it does bank the heat and we actually are able to use it year-round.
Well, by definition, a greenhouse is all about solar energy. You know, mm-hmm. We've got a lot of windows in our house. I know in the middle of the winter even, when it's a sunny day, you leave the windows open and the furnace doesn't kick in all day. So
in the summertime, every greenhouse in Wisconsin across the country is actually spending a lot of money and electricity trying to vent out the heat out of a greenhouse because it's more than they need. If we can just figure out a way to capture that and bank it in the building, then we can draw upon that and use it in the wintertime. And that's how we really envision this being a sustaining operation. And I think everybody who understands then what that means in terms of this being sort of a living building that takes care of itself over time sees why this actually has the potential to work.
Well, what I find interesting is that in your mission statement, you're talking about a local food community being something that brings people together, and it looks like this greenhouse project is bringing the entire community in Stevens Point together, all of these different organizations and all of these volunteers and all of these folks, and you're not even raising any food there yet. So
right. Yeah, and I mean that's been one of the most incredible things is I mean coming from a place like Milwaukee and moving to Stevens Point and understanding and being tied into a collaborative effort is incredible. And I think every day someone new reaches out and wants to help and sees opportunity to make sure that this project happens. And so while we're getting organized, because as we mentioned, you know, we were all volunteer before this, it's like as we've gotten organized, I feel like we can really put our best foot forward to say, you know, this is why, and look at all the support we garnered with just telling people our ideas. You know, this has to happen.
Well, on the brochure that you've got about this project, it lists a bunch of bullet points about what you want to see the building become. Here are the bullet points of very ambitious plans: regenerative use, education and training, demonstration, business incubator, renewable energy, community space, and then eventually benefits for members mm-hmm. of the local food community.
Right. So I think that what's really neat is because of the layout of the facility, so there's a front building, then there's five greenhouses behind it, two to the side and behind it. So what we really want to see happen is the front building would be office space and some retail, and then a community kitchen that people could come in and either learn about preserving, learn about cooking, because that's another thing that people have become really disconnected from. A lot of people open a bag and they dump it in the skillet, and then they serve it to, you know, to their family. And so we want people to know how to use these foods that we're growing as well. But the really cool thing is those two production greenhouses we would like to use as part of our farmer incubation. And so how do we get and be able to teach urban farming as well? So aquaponics is something that a lot of people in the community are interested in, and we don't have any aquaponics farms in our area. So that's been an exciting piece. And then we'd also like the center part of the greenhouses to be somewhere that people can gather, and it might be something as easy as having some wood-fired pizza ovens out there so that people could rent the space and use it for a reception or something. And then the last piece is having a learning center. And the learning center would be half classroom and half growing. So we could bring in kids, we could bring in adults, we can bring in anybody that wants to kind of get their hands in the dirt and learn about growing food.
And the business incubator part of it?
The business incubator is really actually it's looking at a broader scope. It's identifying gaps in our local food economy. So right now, say that if we wanted to start collecting food waste from a restaurant, you know, that could be a business for someone. That could be something that someone could set up and get buckets and go and deliver those buckets and pick them up daily and take them out to to somewhere and then make that compost into soil or into fertilizer. And so it's also not just saying that there's exactly things that are going to be on site, but it's making sure that our eyes are always open to the availability of different business ideas that would help our local food economy grow.
Lane Cozzolino and Joel Groshek and Eric Olson, the Central Rivers Farm Shed, 1-800-780-9742. If you live in the Stevens Point area and you've seen what these folks are doing, give us a call. Let us know how you think they're doing. And if you've got any comments at all about sustainable agriculture or turning your community into a local food community, we'd like to hear from you as well. 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
Row by row, gonna make this garden grow. Gonna mulch it deep and low, gonna make it fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, please bless these seeds I sow. Please keep them safe below, till the rain comes tumbling down.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, and we are talking to Eric Olson, Joel Groshek, and Lane Cozzolino, three of the folks behind the Central Rivers Farm Shed project in the Stevens Point area. Let's go to the phones right now. We have Pauly in Montello. Pauly, you're on Route 51.
Hi. I just came into your program like about 20 minutes ago. I came in like in the middle of it.
Well, you missed a lot of fun.
I missed a lot, but I hear you talking about all the sustainable community growing, and I just wanted to put out there that I've been organic gardening for over 20 years, but I'm not allowed to call it organic because I never got it certified, right? We grow our own food here. We raise rabbits, and we hunt, and we eat wild turkeys, and we eat venison, and we pretty much eat most of our own food.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
very good.
There's also, you're talking about this place in Milwaukee, at the big greenhouse. Is that the place that was on, I want to say, Wisconsin Foodie?
They probably were, because Wisconsin Foodie's probably featured Growing Power, I'm guessing.
I think it was them. There's a place here in Montello called Nelson Paid.
Yeah, aquaponics, right.
With the aquaponics, yeah. And I didn't know if you guys were aware of those people and what they're doing, and they sell their stuff in the local grocery stores in Montello and Portage.
Awesome.
And probably even a little farther out, so I can actually get romaine lettuce and fresh basil and, you know, other greens in the middle of winter, knowing that it was grown locally.
Yeah,
that's phenomenal.
Well, that answers the question that we were asking Eric earlier in the program. Pauly, thanks so much for the phone call. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
You too. Let's talk about this local food atlas that you've got in the few minutes that are remaining here. It can be downloaded for free as a PDF file on your website, which is farmshed.org. Very easy to remember, farmshed.org. So you've got farms, markets, and establishments listed there. You've got an index in front with a list of products, meat, eggs, herbs, and flowers, fruit, poultry, vegetables, roadside stands, certified organic, and then a cross-reference to the entries in the atlas. It really is pretty amazing, isn't it? Just the number of farms, cafes, whole food stores, and other producers that are already doing this in the area.
Yeah, I think it's a really great thing to run across. And what's fantastic is no matter where you are in Wisconsin, hopefully the last little segment that doesn't have one, we'll get one soon. But everybody has their own atlas, so the Southeast, Southwest, Central, and then there's also the Northeast, I think, and the Northwest is the one that's missing, I think. But yeah, they're really great handy tools for trying to figure out, you know, how you can support businesses and farms that, you know, are really doing some of the things that we're talking about here.
And this year we've actually seen it grow. I think I've been working with Ann Hyla on, and Sue Anderson and all of those volunteers, of course, as like calling people. And we've got over 108 people signed up for the 2012 edition, which is due out very soon, I believe in April. So, you know, it's kind of like this whole idea that the movement is kind of culminating, I guess. And
Eric, you've seen a lot of growth in this movement in the years that you've been there. Do you feel like you're reaching your goal to turn Central Wisconsin into a local food community?
I think we're getting there. I think the success of the food fair, when we get, you know, 500-600 people to show up on a winter night just to kind of hear about local food, that means that we're getting to new people all the time. The fact that people are starting to ask about it, we see on campus at UW-Stevens Point a lot more interest in where the food is coming from and getting local food. Our food service director has been working with some folks at Appleton to make sure that he knows, for example, where the milk is coming from that the students are drinking on campus every day. I think 10 years ago you wouldn't have heard a food service director really talking about that, and now we actually have someone on campus who's just really gung-ho about it and is getting sort of more students to be interested in it as well. And I think it is growing. I'm very optimistic, and I'm just excited to be a part of it all the time, really.
And again, you've got that local food fair happening a week from tonight, Thursday, February 16th at Stevens Point Area Senior High School.
It'll be fantastic, yeah.
It starts definitely. At 5:30, and we'll be there until about 9 o'clock at night, so people can come by any time. But if you come by between 5:30 and roughly, I think, 7,
yep.
Right? You'll be able to get a potato and some free toppings. And
yeah. And then 7:30 is when Michelle Nishan will come on and speak to us a little bit about, you know, what his vision is for a local food economy. And I think that it should be a really fantastic event.
And you've got the Beginning Farmers course this weekend and next weekend. You still looking for people to sign up for that?
We are always looking for people. More people, the merrier.
They go to the webpage. They
yep.
can find the information right there.
Yep, yep.
Farmshed.org.
That's it.
Thanks, guys. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks so much.
We want to thank today's guests, Interim Executive Director Lane Cozzolino, FarmShed Program Coordinator Joel Groshek, and FarmShed Board Member Eric Olson. And you can find more out about Central Rivers FarmShed at that website, farmshed.org, at local food fair, cooking demonstration, and potato dinner next Thursday, February 16th at Stevens Point Area Senior High School. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and our on-air producers, Jane Ritger and Crystal Bennis. Special music today by Murray McLaughlin, the Missoula Coyote Children's Choir, Woody Guthrie, Arlo Guthrie, Neil Young, and Tim McGraw. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we're heading out of town.
Ain't no cover charge, just country boys and girls getting down on the bar. Come as you are, there ain't no dress code, just some rule about rules that you need to know. Don't mess with the bull, he can get real mean. Don't forget to shut the gate, stay out of the beans. If it starts to rain, he'll just head to the barn. The country boys and girls get